guys, welcome back to the Not Without Merit podcast, lucky episode 13. I am Jake, with me is Mike.
What is up, everybody? And joining us, as always, is Ben.
Hello.
Hello, Ben, the one who has recently been playing a little bit of Far Cry 5 along with Jake as well. So why don't you guys tell us all about the newest, greatest Far Cry.
I'm going to let Ben go for it. Before we start, I just want to point out how last week I was like, We all forgot this game was coming out, and I wondered how it would sell, and now two out of the three of us have it. So there you go, yeah, Far Cry 5. Good job.
Yeah, the reviews came out, and it seemed to be rating very well, and I was already sort of interested in it, and I've been itching for a new game, and this kind of looked like up my alley, just, you know, crazy people doing crazy things, and you get to murder a bunch of people, so how fun is that? But I mean, first thing right off the bat is that you notice is just that it's a beautiful game, and I'm coming to expect that from Ubisoft games now. After The Division looked good, and then they stepped it up with Wildlands and Assassin's Creed Origins, and now Far Cry 5.
And Horizon, don't forget your favorite game.
Ubisoft didn't do Horizon?
They did not. That was Guerrilla Games. That was Guerrilla Games.
I thought Ubi had a hand in that.
Nope, that was all Guerrilla. Oh,
my mistake.
I think they gave them a thumbs it up felt, saying, hey, good job, Guerrilla Games.
You know what? It felt so much like a Ubisoft game. That's why I thought it was Ubisoft.
Yeah, I could see that. But it's a very pretty game. The intro is just creepy, tense. It keeps you on the edge of your seat just because it, you know, what the hell's going to happen. It really sets the mood well. Another thing I noticed in this game right off the bat, I've only got a couple hours in, so this is just pretty much just like things I've noticed. There's bears everywhere in this area of the world. And I saw three bears on the same hill. It shouldn't happen. They were everywhere on this
family
one hill.
Of bears.
All right, so maybe it was a triplets. They were like three bears that were triplets. I'll give them that, sure. But they're just furry tanks that will stop at nothing to maul anything in their path. I tried killing one, and it didn't go well.
Well, you're at the beginning of the game. You're going to get destroyed.
Right. Yeah. They're hard to kill. I mean, I've killed one, but I took almost a full clip of an assault rifle. I pulled out my pistol because I didn't have time to reload, and I started shooting at it, and then it finally went down. Just steer clear of the bears. I mean, I saw a bear take out cultists and then turn and chase normal people who got out of their car to look. It was hilarious. I thought it was nice.
Created a really funny environment.
Yeah, it felt like GTA-ish to me. It does have a really heavy Skyrim vibe. All you get is the compass at the top, just like Skyrim.
No mini map.
Yeah, and there's no mini map. It's just
no waypoints on your map. No markers. Towers to climb. It's awesome. You know what? It's not the typical style of how they used to do it. I mean.
No.
It's not the progression style of do this and we show you everything on the map.
Well, I don't know, I haven't played enough to know, but...
Fair enough.
You pick up maps and little buildings and it kind of opens up.
Right, but you still have to discover things as you come across them.
Yes.
I'm saying, like, it's more in that style compared to how it used to be with these open world games.
And I never played a Far Cry game before, so I don't know how it used to be. But so far, I think this will work out. They do have fast travel in the game. Of course, you have to like unlock and secure areas to be able to fast travel to and from them. But it seems to be okay in that regard. It feels like this is going to just be a massive world. And just hills and mountains and forests. And, you know, you sprinkle in little bits of civilization here and there. it's going to be, I think it'll be a fun experience, and I got to adjust the gunplay. It feels a little rough right now to me. I should be able to adjust though as I play and unlock new perks and can go about.
Yeah, apparently once you get like attachments and stuff, the gameplay and the gunplay feels a lot smoother. I was hearing a lot of people complaining about that in the beginning, and then they were saying that it gets a lot better as you progress.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping would happen, so it's good to hear that other people have experienced the same as me. So looking forward to playing that more this week. But that's all I have on Far Cry. I played some more Fortnite this week.
No way. Surprise. Me too.
Yeah.
Now, we did you win any games?
I won a few.
Me too.
A handful of games. So the new heavy shotgun or whatever we call it.
Sucks.
It's like it's hit or miss for me. Like I've wrecked people with it, and then I've completely whiffed with it.
It so feels like there's this sweet spot of range where it's effective. Where if like too close, like attack or a pump is way better. Too far, assault rifle is way better. So like there's this middle ground, this very like thin middle ground where it's a very effective weapon. So I tend to just ignore it completely.
I'll grab one if I have to.
You know, if it's all I got, I'll take it. But that's, you know, that's something I will drop as soon as I find anything else that's, you know, remotely better. But I guess that's kind of a good thing because I was worried that it was just going to make more shotgun spam even worse. But it's not bad.
That new remote rocket, though, looks like it'll be a lot of fun.
That is going to be interesting. Yeah, I don't see that being better or worse.
Today, whenever you're listening.
Than the standard rocket launcher, since you'll be an exposed target while you're guiding that thing. So it's definitely a huge risk to just even firing one. But, yeah, I think that's going to create some crazy fucking scenarios that I cannot wait to be a part of.
What game had that? It's an old game. And I want to say it was Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid.
You're talking about the guided rocket? Yeah, it's Metal Gear Solid 1.
Okay.
It's Metal Gear Solid 1.
Yeah, a couple of them did.
I'm thinking about that all
one
day.
One did. I think two did as well, or three. It's been in multiple. I want to say it's been in more than just the first Metal Gear.
It was in 5.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm thinking of then. Yeah, it was in 5. But yeah, that's when I think of guided rocket, Metal Gear is like the first franchise that comes to mind.
You have to do it in the helicopter fight on the roof in the first one.
No.
Remember? In the snow?
Yeah.
And when you climb the big tower?
It sucks ass.
Yes, I do remember that. And I remember
liquids
not liking
flying the helicopter and shit. Yeah, it sucks.
I'm hoping the rocket in this one's a little better.
Well, I mean, do you have control over it no matter how far it is away from you once you fire it? Because
I'm sure from
across the goddamn map and search for people.
I'm sure it's on a timer. I'm sure it's a ranged and timed rocket.
Fair enough.
Because otherwise, that would be broken if that thing had unlimited range and time.
Imagine sniping someone from across the map with a missile. That'd be hilarious.
I mean, people tomahawked each other from across maps in COD.
That's true. Those are the good old days.
Yeah, of being super pissed at a game. God damn, dude. I do not miss the rage days of COD. I miss the fun days, but I don't miss the rage days.
Yeah. So much fun. Mm. That's it for me. That's all I've been playing.
Well, I'll jump in quickly because I have even less to talk about than you do. I also, like you said, played some Fortnite, and yeah, that's the continuing thing with me. I did pick up Dead Rising 4. I have not started to play it yet, but that will be coming. That will probably be the next major game I jump into, so you'll be hearing a lot more from me when it comes to that game in the near future. But, yeah, other than me, it's just Fortnite. Nothing but Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of in, like, a dead zone catch-up time until...
Yeah.
For, like, the next month until... I mean, this was unexpected with Far Cry, but I think God of War is going to mark the first one to, like, really start the season of games for us. That and Dark Souls. I mean, I don't have much more to say about Far Cry than you, Ben, because you've played it more than I have. I will say some little details I like are that, like you said, they've made the world feel more accessible than previous games, where it's just like You can explore and do whatever you want, whenever you want. There's not really a set pattern of missions. You can kind of just mess around and do everything at your leisure.
It reminded me of Wildlands in that regard.
Yeah. Actually, I'm glad you said that, because Front said the perfect thing yesterday. It's kind of like an FPS Wildlands, which it does feel like. And that's not a bad thing.
I said that, actually. But
oh, did you say that? My bad. I thought it was Franz. That's dead on. It feels like an FPS Wildlands with more of like a arcadey feel, I guess. Or more, not arcade, that's the wrong word. More wacky feel, I guess. Like with the stuff with the bears
the
and,
run
the
into
cultist
and,
yeah, and stuff like that.
It's real.
I am interested to try arcade mode.
Yeah, I stepped up to the arcade and I logged into it, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Seems like it's a whole new distraction to playing this game. And then I just backed out. I'm like, I don't want to.
And we can mess around with that in co-op, I believe. The other cool thing I heard about...
the perks you unlock work in arcade.
Yes, that I do know. It's progression-based with the campaign, I think. But another thing that I read about or saw when I was watching some footage of Twitch streamers play this was that if you do a mission co-op with somebody, apparently the outcomes of missions can be different than if you're playing them single player.
Hmm.
So they're encouraging people. Like, I was looking at the trophies. They actually say single player campaign only for certain trophies. So I guess what they're trying to do is encourage you to experience the story on your own, but also be able to play with your friends and have a different experience. Because people were comparing their experience of missions, and different people had different outcomes, which I found pretty interesting. So
neat.
I'd like to mess around and try that. But other than that, I finished Resident Evil 5. We're going to start the DLC, which I never played, so I'm actually kind of excited to play those. Other than that, more Burnout. Oh, I did start up Neo, because you started talking about that last week, Mike, and it piqued my attention again, especially with nothing else to play. The DLC is really hard. I think it makes it harder, the fact that I haven't played that game in a year. But to kind of just step back into the fire, I did decide to fight those two bosses in that small field.
Yeah.
I think I'm like level... I'm level one. I beat him, by the way.
Really?
Nice. Level 155 mission, and I'm a level 120 and change. And
yeah, I think I'm around like level 120 something as well. Somewhere around.
I will say doing that mission has made me feel like I'm able to play the game again.
Well, no shit. That's
so,
the ultimate test, at least that first playthrough, is fighting those fuckers simultaneously.
The one guy, I just slowed down and let him run around the rock while I killed the other guy, and then I fought the other guy. So,
whichever you got to do to win.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they don't put that rock there for no reason. There's a reason that rock is in that fight.
That's strictly for kiting.
Exactly. So before I got back in it, I had heard that magic had been nerfed. It doesn't feel nerfed, but I guess the only thing that feels different is some of the spells don't last as long. But the slowdown spell...
From what I remember, it was specifically, it was like the slowdown spell and the stamina recovery spells. Those two specifically. I don't think it was magic across the board. It was those two because they were so overpowered.
I still have 6 charges on it, though. It still lasts like 8 to 10 seconds, which is more than enough time if I have a powerful weapon to destroy the person. So, I can still break the game if I want to, but overall, it feels really good to be back in that game. The DLC is really fun. It's really hard, and I'm excited to play more Neo. Other than that, I'm going to be starting, as Ben did, I'm going to be jumping back into, or fully into, Far Cry 5. Oh, also, the final episode of Season 2 Telltale Batman came out yesterday, so since my save file got messed up when I did my PS4 transfer to my Pro... I have to start it all over, and now that it's all out, I'm gonna binge that. So I think I talked about it when it first came out, that this season was really interesting, how they switched the dynamics of, like, Harley being in charge and Joker being the subservient one, and how they kind of flipped the universe on its head. Batman's a vigilante trying to get in with them. It's interesting. So I'm excited to see how that series ends, or how this season ends. Other than that, pretty much it.
Well, all right, then. Let us jump right into the news, where we get to talk about our favorite topic every single month. The free games we're going to get thanks to PlayStation Plus. Yet it is that time again already. The free games for April have been announced, and they are as follows. For PlayStation 4, you will be receiving Mad Max and Trackmania Turbo. For PlayStation 3, you will receive In Space We Brawl and Toy Home. And on the PlayStation Vita, you will receive 99 Vitas and Qbert Rebooted. Qbert Rebooted is also cross-buy on PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4.
I am getting you played that, because Qbert was such a great game. I remember playing that as a kid at the arcade, like a Chuck E. Cheese.
I never played Qbert. That was one of those games
it is,
I never played.
It's like
played.
A crazy puzzle game, and
it's like you're hopping on that, like, all those squares, like up and down.
Yeah. And a pyramid. And you have
like,
snakes
you can't
and
backtrack
shit
or something, right?
But you got to turn all of the squares into the same color.
That's what it was. Okay.
And you have stuff chasing you out throughout the map.
Right.
Well, it's not a map, it's a board. God.
Right.
Map.
Was that, is that one of those ones like Miss Pac-Man Championship and stuff that they just kind of repackaged and redesigned? Or is it really the base game just kind of in that arcade-y style?
I think it's kind of somewhere in the middle. I don't think it's like a crazy like reboot of the game, kind of how Championship Edition is like radically different. But I think I don't think it's just like a straight port. I think it's just kind of like a cleaned up graphics, kind of updated version of the original game.
Okay,
yeah, check it out.
I know. I know you and I played Mad Max, Ben. We told you about that earlier today. I think you should still play it because I think you'll enjoy it.
Oh, I'm gonna download it and check it out.
It's not bad enough to not be worth trying.
But after about 10 to 15 hours, it stops being fun because it's the same thing over and over and over and over.
Can I just mainline the story?
Yes, I was going to say, if you mainline the story, you'll be fine because you can do it in like 10 to 15 hours and it'll be fun. You'll get to experience all the driving mechanics, and the side stuff is pretty much all the same shit over and over anyway. So you'll be good.
All right, then I'll be fine with this one.
Yeah. The driving mechanics are fantastic, which is really interesting to be in a game like that. But yeah, that game was sneakily well done in that department. And Mike, you played Trackmania Turbo, right?
Yeah, I mean, I played the. Actually, I did have. I think it was one of the GameFly games.
You rented it from GameFly,
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah, it's really good. It's kind of it's like a trials type game minus the like extreme difficulty in like obstacles. It's more of like a, hey, here's some quick like 30 to 60 second tracks, and like your main goal is to like set a really good lap time, and it's just like the quick restarts, you know, oh, let me try shave, you
that's
know
cool.
200ths of a second. That's the type of game it is. It's not like a traditional like racing game. It's more of like a, here's a bunch of really wild and insanely created tracks, and here's like, I think the base game has like probably close to 200 of them in there. And
nice.
Here, just try to set your best lap times on every single one. And the controls are really tight and nice too. So yeah, it's a fun game. It's a fun racing game. It's not your average just traditional racing game. So definitely check that out as well.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'll be definitely playing that one. And it also has VR. So for people with VR, I wouldn't dare ever play.
Does
a game
it turn
like that
into
in
a
VR.
First person game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I could, that with how fast you drive in that game, that's like you're at like burnout levels of speed. So I couldn't imagine playing that in VR.
I would vomit everywhere. It's like when they announced the new Ace Combat also in VR. Fuck you! Like I don't want to fly a plane and like no way.
All right, moving on to a Kickstarter update from Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night. We have a English voice cast. I will not go through every single person, but we will hit some of the more well-known names. David Hayter, yes, Solid Snake himself, will be playing the character of Zangetsu.
I mean Kiefer Sutherland, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Kiefer Sutherland, absolutely. Ray Chase, known for playing the main character Noctis in Final Fantasy XV, will be playing Gebble. And, oh, jeez. Carrie Walgren, known for... Who's she known for on... Ricky, is she a main character, or she do a lot of?
She does a lot of
side
voices, but I think her main one is Jessica.
Okay, so Jessica will be playing Gremory, and who is the last one we wanted to? Oh, jeez. There was one more. Oh,
I think it was Futaba, right?
Yeah, Robbie Belgrade, known as Alucard from the original Symphony of the Night, and the announcer for Tekken, will be playing the Mysterious Man. And they did talk a little bit also about the release date. They are not ready to announce a window yet. They did say very soon, quote, very soon for the release window. They are not trying to say that there's been any huge delays or they're not ready to commit to anything as of yet. However, this June, they will be releasing the beta backer demo, which is available to everyone who backed the game at the $60 tier or above. You will receive a Steam code regardless of what platform you backed, and you will be able to play it, and they will provide, you'll be able to provide feedback once you have played the demo. And yeah, this game is it's close. What were you guys thinking? This year? Next year?
I want to say this year, but I have a feeling it'll be a first quarter next year.
Yeah, I hope this year, especially how many times they've said now. But absolutely, after learning, I mean, the past couple game or years in the gaming industry, it's very rare for a company to set a release date and have it be that day. So,
right,
I don't know. I hope this year, but yeah, I'm gonna agree with Ben. Probably beginning of next year.
No, well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. First quarter 2019 is probably a safe.
But if they say they're giving a release window soon, especially now, I would say E3 is.
Yeah, that's kind of what, that's my guess. Yeah, they come out at E3.
Because E3 is what? June? Beginning of June?
Yeah, so, you know, just under 2 months away. I could see them holding out. That's where they maybe give off like a nice. Oh, that's true.
PAX East is next week.
That could also be.
So that's another big jump off point. Yeah. Is PAX is like the first big con of the year, kind of.
Yeah. So, yeah, they can definitely see it at PAX East as well. So, yeah, we'll wait and see. But, yeah, in the near future, we should have a release window for the long-awaited and anticipated Bloodstained.
Hell yes. And also, Carrie Walgren is Jessica on Rick and Morty. Okay, confirmed.
Good. Confirmed. Thank you.
Just in case anyone's wondering.
As if Monopoly didn't have enough specific themes and styles to it, we will add another one to the list. Mario Kart Monopoly is currently in stores right now. You can get it at GameStop for the low price of $25. They will be releasing to other stores over the summer and releasing additional tokens in the fall, which the tokens you can currently play as are Mario, Princess Peach, Luigi, and Toad. And in the fall, you'll be able to pick up new tokens such as Bowser, Donkey Kong, and Yoshi.
DLC tokens for a fucking board game. Are you kidding me right now?
So ridiculous.
They have Monopoly for like literally
everything.
Property.
What's Boardwalk and Park Place?
I saw Rick and Morty Monopoly the other day. There's a Fallout Monopoly. Like, it's for everything.
They have Star Wars back in the day. What's Boardwalk and Park Place for Mario Kart?
This image is
Bowser's Castle or something?
Bowser's Castle is one of them.
Rainbow Road?
Yeah, that would make sense. Bowser's Castle and Rainbow Road, probably.
Yeah, I don't see a picture of Rainbow Road elsewhere, so I'm going to assume,
maybe
Rainbow
Peach's Road
Castle
is
the other one.
Or something like that. Yeah.
But, yeah.
If you need another version, good for them.
You know, whatever. Why not?
How much is this one selling for? Is it more expensive
bucks.
Than Monopoly?
$25.
So that's
reasonable for a board game. That's a reasonable
price. I expected it to be like 40, so
no,
that's reasonable.
No. Yeah. Yeah, that's when you get all the crazy Kickstarter shit.
If they're only giving you 4 tokens to start, I mean, are you going to have to make your own tokens to play more than 4
game.
People?
It's only 4 player. Sorry. That's strange, but that's true, I guess. Yeah.
What's base Monopoly? Isn't it 8?
I don't even remember. 6 to 8?
I think it's 6 or 8.
It's more than 4, that's for sure.
It's way more than 4.
So I would say
probably 6 or 8.
Yeah, you'll have to get the fall expansion DLC if you want to play with more than 4
Christ,
people.
Jesus Christ,
dude. Mario Kart Monopoly.
Leave it
for those.
You know
games,
what?
So.
Yeah.
Leave it to Nintendo to make physical DLC.
Wait till that stupid cardboard shit comes out.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah,
my
Labo.
God.
All the fucking modular shit that's going to come out.
You want your DLC fishing rod package?
What's the thing called again?
Labo.
That's right.
Yep. Comes out the same day as God of War.
We were born 30 years too late. Or too early.
I mean, we got in at the right. We got in like the golden age of Legos at least.
Well, now we have the money to spend.
Now we can buy whatever we want.
That's true. We can be kids with our money, but still be adults.
To not fall for a lot of this crap now.
Yeah. Okay.
So
you know what? Yeah. That's true too. We're picking and choosing.
Yeah.
At least.
I'm not getting suckered into fucking 20 different versions of Monopoly that I'll never play. Yeah.
Says the man who bought Mighty Number 9 and fucking, what was that other game you bought last year? Because you had to see how bad it was.
Tony Hawk 5.
That's what it was.
Hey, that only cost me like, those transactions only cost me like $8 or $9, so I was willing to take the hit. Yeah,
hey,
fair enough. I sold both of those games back almost immediately. And we will wrap up this week's episode of news with some release dates and price drops. First off, we have a release date finally for the Western release of Dragon Quest XI. It will be hitting our shores on September 4th. Pre-orders are live right now, and if you pre-order on PSN, you will receive the Legend Reborn theme along with a handful of in-game items once the game launches.
Did you see what they said about the release for Switch?
No, I did not.
That it's in the far future?
Wow.
That's weird.
It's not coming to DS at all.
Wow. Well,
so this might actually be
a
sizable title, I'm assuming then.
Yeah, this is going to be a
legit. I can't even remember the last Dragon Quest game I fucking played. Have you guys ever played one?
No. I know of them, but I've never actually played one.
I played Dragon Quest Builders. Does that count?
That counts.
I mean, isn't that Minecraft?
No.
Sort of. It had a lot of RPG stuff in there.
I get. Oh, yeah. It was RPG
but
Minecraft.
You had to build exactly the way they wanted you to build it. You couldn't build what you wanted. It was.
Oh, so it was like a building simulator? That kind of.
Yeah, I was thoroughly annoyed. I did like two or three boss fights, and then I just, like, I can't do this anymore. I'm done.
Jeez.
And then.
Well.
It looked like the second one, the second one they released was more of the same, and. It looked exactly the same. I passed on that.
Well, Dragon Quest is a... Front's platinum that game, I think. So,
well,
I mean, you know him
one,
in games.
I don't know if he got the second one, though.
Oh, I didn't even know there was a second Dragon Quest Builders. That's crazy.
It came out in the
Holy shit!
Last 6 months
I didn't know that game was that successful to make a second one. The Dragon Quest games are pretty fun. I didn't know they were up to 11. There's probably even more than that with all the subtitle ones. Or spin-off.
I played Dragon Warrior on Nintendo.
I don't think that's the same game, is it?
It's the same universe. They changed it from Warrior to Quest.
Oh,
when they started, I guess, when they switched over to PlayStation, I think, is when the first one
that's
came
when
out
I
as
remember.
A Dragon Quest.
Yeah, that's the first one I remember. It was on PS1, I guess.
Or 2. Jeez, I don't know.
Or 2. Whenever it came out, I don't fucking remember anymore.
It didn't look fun, that's for sure.
Yeah, so.
It's too bad.
Five months away, you'll get your hands on Dragon Quest XI for the first
time on
a modern platform. And, I can't think of the last one that wasn't released on a handheld.
And that's
like
what I was going to say is that.
Yeah, maybe PS1.
There's so many games now that used to be like either handheld specific or like. Japanese or like region specific that are now look at all the games that have been coming to like they're bringing the Yakuza games, Monster Hunter, this it's I'm happy that games are finally becoming worldwide and not just regionary, although there are still a bunch of Japanese games. Have you ever looked at the Japanese PS4 titles and just how many don't exist here?
Oh yeah, no. it's insane.
It's
a lot.
Insane. There's hundreds of them.
Yeah. There is a ridiculous amount that is, still just exclusive and probably will never come west. I mean, that's just how it is.
I mean,
but there's
so many
pigeon dating sim games.
Right, exactly. That some Americans of them you're not going to want to play. However, there's a bunch of fighting games and RPGs and shit that are really good that we'll never see.
The RPGs bugs me because I do, like a good story RPG.
You can still get them. It's not region locked.
I know, but I want to be able to enjoy it completely.
I don't know. If you put on subtitles,
I'm sure it'll be okay.
If
it comes with subtitles, it'll be okay.
The menus would be the biggest issue for you because you'd have to look up what the menu counterpart in English is so you'd know what you were doing.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, well, okay. All right, well, then you're not playing a Japanese
RPG. Before I do that.
Fair enough. There you go.
Oh, no way. I'm not looking up Japanese menus to play through an RPG. That would take
five billion hours to play through that.
I remember when Dark Souls 3. I remember when Dark Souls 3 came out, last year or the year before? It came out in Japan 2 weeks early or 1 week before or something. There were a bunch of streamers that did that exact thing so that they could play Dark Souls.
I remember that.
No. It's like, I gotta look up what this item is.
Like, just wait a week and play it on you're gonna read
it. If all you have to do is look up what the item is, there's not much in Dark Souls that you really need to know how to read.
There's a lot of lore in that game, though. Come on.
Yeah, but you're gonna play it again in a week in English. They're just doing it to experience
the
world. You can't. You can't
play
wait.
More Fortnite.
When Nier first came out, when Nier Automata first came out, I was tempted to buy it from Japan because it came out a week or two before, and I was tempted to do that. But
I wish you did now. Damn it.
You can, it's the same game. You can go back to the Nier you have and put it all in Japanese and have that same experience. I should stream that. Just like stream the whole game in Japanese, not knowing any of what I'm doing.
Don't say anything in your stream at all.
Just like a silent stream of some random dude playing a Japanese game that has no idea what's going on.
Yes. That's just put that in the title of the stream.
I don't speak
or read Japanese. I'm streaming this game.
But I have platinum this game before, so. But watch me sell all the items that
You
it's not going to matter.
In a game blind, though. I think that's the key. You can't know what's going to happen in the game. You just have to,
It would have to be a game.
Things and
it would have to be a game that the gameplay was so enticing that I wouldn't care that I didn't know what was going on. It would have to be obviously there wouldn't be a Far Cry game in Japanese, but I'm saying it had to be something like that where I can just kind of do shit, and even if I don't understand something, I'm not going to not be able to proceed.
Yeah, it's like you can either free this person from the. You know, free them or chop their head off. And you're like, I don't know what my options are because I don't know what this language is. And then chop this person's head off. Chop.
It would be an interesting
hilarious
experience.
I'd watch that. I'd watch that all day.
Who wouldn't watch that?
Yeah, it'd be entertaining as hell.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Defiance 2050's beta has a date. It will be very soon in our near future, April 20th through the 22nd on PS4. You can still sign up for their beta right now at defiance2050.com. This beta will be exclusive to PS4 and exclusive to North America territory. So sign up right now.
I signed
up. To try up. See?
I really like the show. I never played the game, but I love the show.
I played the game, but I never watched the show.
This is the one that you and I played, right?
That's too bad.
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's the one I have to sign up for it. I didn't understand what it was until you just said
my
it was
friend
a show.
Andy
like, oh, shit,
loved
okay.
the game.
It was fun.
Yeah,
he was
it on
one of three
for
people
for
who
while.
Loved the original game.
Yeah, it's a pretty good game. Very excited
he said
to check
he
out
would,
that beta.
He would stand way back and shoot at something, so he would register a hit on it, and then he would just run off and do whatever the hell else he wanted to do. And then after, 20 minutes, whatever he shot died, he'd get a whole bunch of credit for it. And then he'd go back and... It sounds like a lot of fun to me. It's really fun.
I don't know what game he was playing, but when we were playing it, we were having a lot more fun than that. So you'll be
They did multiplayer really well. Massive multiplayer really well.
They had the really cool, instance stuff where, oh, here's this huge mega boss that pops up, and then all of a sudden, 60 other people get instanced into your game and you all fighting to take it down. It was a really cool thing.
Yeah,
I
think that's what he was talking about.
That probably was. Yeah, I could see that.
He would show up, he would shoot it, and then he would leave. And then he'd get credit for killing it once you all
killed it. Right, yeah, because it's a big event. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, teamwork.
It was a fun game. Yeah, I can't wait to check that out again. And our final bit of news this week, Sony's recent temporary price drop for the PlayStation VR has now become permanent. So now the cheapest entry point for the PlayStation VR will be the low price of $299. That will either net you the standard PlayStation VR headset plus camera bundle. Also, that could get you the PlayStation VR plus camera plus Doom VFR bundle. This $100 price drop will also apply to the Skyrim VR bundle, which will now drop that to the low price of $349. That bundle comes with the VR headset, the camera, Skyrim VR, and two PlayStation Move controllers as well. So it looks like my prediction...
I mean, one of us has to get the
Skyrim
bundle,
$50 away
from
my prediction being right. $50 away. It could happen. I'm almost there. Man,
I could never
man.
Play Doom in VR because
it's too twitchy.
I would hit my head against a wall.
I need slow, calm experiences. Doom's too high, too intense, too fast paced.
Skyrim would be pushing it, but
yeah, Skyrim I think is manageable in VR.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be very pretty in VR, I imagine. But
I can imagine it looks like a PS1 game in there.
And not to mention, I don't want to play Skyrim again. I've played it enough times. I've already owned it twice. But I don't know about VR. Okay, if I'm going to play it again, I don't think VR is going to be the way.
Would you play GTA in VR?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
I
wouldn't get in a plane. But even
the car stuff and even the combat stuff, that's still going to be pretty twitchy too. You're going to have to adjust to that as well.
I mean, compared to other shooters, that combat is a little slower.
But driving around in that game is not slow pace, though.
No, I would definitely not be like driving off of cliffs.
It would make everybody a super safe driver. Yeah. You'd see everybody stopping at red lights, and like nobody would fuck around.
Where's the turn signal button?
Yeah, it'd be hilarious.
Yeah, but ooh,
yeah, that would be a lot of fun trying to play GTA and VR. Just playing with the two of you, Mike is the worst driver and Jake's the worst
player. How dare you?
I'm not the worst. I'm not the
driver.
Worst. And I'm a great
you
flyer.
You bragged about
How
being the best flyer and then wrecked.
I did.
Like two
I did.
Seconds later.
Oh, yeah. I brag about being the best a lot of stuff and I know I'm not. But I do have confidence in my flying. I'm just not as good as I say I am.
That was one of the funniest things ever. You just destroyed almost.
I love flying around in that game. I loved just being the chauffeur when we'd fly to missions. It'd fly us around.
Oh yeah, that was always my.
It was great.
It's like I wanted to be the driver.
Yeah, and you could sit around and earn points for nothing.
The driver.
Yeah,
I got too good at driving. I think
that was the problem. Yeah, you got too good.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
I'm an excellent driver. Hell with
better driver than you are.
Mm-mm, no way. I'm a better driver. So $300.
Oh, just
you
I got
thinking?
More news. Just breaking news. If you want to hear it,
yes,
it's Fortnite related.
Oh, it's important.
Yeah, okay.
This is very
so.
Important.
Fortnite Battle Royale has a PlayStation Plus celebration pack.
Oh wait, what?
Glider
really?
And outfit. Yep.
For free.
Free.
Wait, is this the one that was
like now?
A couple weeks ago, or they just add another one?
I don't.
There was one a couple
weeks
ago,
a month ago.
Then so this isn't breaking news. This is just a retweet from PlayStation fooling me.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Anyway, PlayStation tweeted this. Yeah, sorry guys.
Week.
There's free stuff out there.
If you don't already have that, then by all means. Go download that free costume and glider. But
Fortnite's doing a lot of interesting stuff lately.
Hey, it's
like
most
winning
popular
everything
game
they
in
do
in the world right now.
Yeah,
so
that and the whole thing with Twitch is fucking mind blowing, man. I did not expect
this is what's gonna fund
a battle
the next
royale
four
to
years
take
of
over
war.
This. It's unreal. Did you expect a cartoony game? So Battle Royale has been really popular over the past year. Did you expect a cartoon version in a non-finished game to take over everything?
Well, no. Mike and I have only been playing it for the last 3 months.
You guys got it on New Year's Day, and you've been playing it ever since.
New Year's
like,
Eve.
You have not... New Year's Eve. You have not stopped. Every day I log on, you guys are fucking playing this game.
Pretty much.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It is fun. It's but it's mind-blowing to me that a game... it's not
simple
that
as
simple.
This.
But you... Fine. It's that, right. That's... I'm not trying to be insulting to it, but compared to, I mean, look at what we've had come out this year so far. Monster Hunter and Far Cry.
Oh, yeah, I totally hear you.
Unbelievable. And everybody's playing this instead.
I would say,
it is.
Look at
Minecraft. Sure. It's the Battle Royale version of Minecraft.
$1 billion industry. It's ridiculous.
This is Minecraft 2 happening right
before
us.
If this lasts as long as Minecraft, I mean, there's no way, right?
No, no, it's not. I mean, the genre is too, like, someone's going to knock off Fortnite, and then someone's
going to
knock that off.
When's
this going to die off? When the next one comes
and knocks it off. Fortnite's been holding its own pretty well, and
I think
this kind of fan base, it's gonna continue to hold its
own. Battlegrounds held well for what, like a year? So
Fortnite does everything better, and it's more appealing to a mass audience. It takes less skill to play Fortnite than
Fortnite's
it does
got a year
to play Battlegrounds
at most. Before something,
how
long
has it been out? It's already been going for about a year,
like
okay.
5 months. Yeah, it's only been going like 5 months.
No, I'm saying the trend in Battle Royale.
Oh yeah, we're at like a year right now, and maybe a little less. So yeah, I'd say it's probably got to like the end of the year where it's, and then something's going to come along and eventually bump it off.
Dying Light put its Battle Royale. I actually want to kind of check that out.
That gameplay didn't look that good.
It doesn't. No,
it's only six people.
It's hard to put. Well, it's
what?
It's so hard to. You try putting a battle royale mode into a
problem.
Game like
just
that.
Because,
that's not made for it.
Yeah,
that's
going to be
premise,
the.
Though.
That's going to be
battle
what
royale,
brings this genre down.
Do
is going to be like everyone's going to try to fun like try
exactly.
to cram a battle royale into their game when it doesn't fundamentally work. So it's going to be shitty, and it's going to have a
that's
lot of
why
bad. Fucking like battle royale type games.
I think people are going to be able to differentiate though a good battle royale type game like a PUBG and Fortnite to, oh my god, this is kind of popular right now, guys. Let's figure out how to jam this into.
I agree.
All right, how long until we get Battlefront 2 battle royale?
When the next one?
I mean, it already is a battle royale game essentially.
I'm sure. Like I said before, I bet you Battlefield. Is I mean
I,
five, you know what? Five is coming out this fall.
You know what?
EA is working on
COD. COD might
Royale.
Do it too. COD might try and do something of it too.
They put
Prop
in
Hunt in it last time.
I don't think they can get it. They can't get it for
unless
launch,
they've been developing
sure.
it for a while.
I mean, maybe it's possible. But then again, like the most people ever in a COD game are 18. So
no, you're right. But I would agree with you. Battlefield may pull this out of their back pocket.
Battlefield's
there
the next,
be
I think,
Royale
big IP that could do it right.
It's very possible.
That could do it right.
And that's a that's
EA,
a map that you can
and they,
do it.
They don't like to spend money on their servers.
True.
They don't have to spend that much money doing this. It's not
but
that
they're,
much different
they're the
from
only
what
other
doing.
Shooter. That's in the ballpark of, like, having the framework there. Like, all right, Battlefield maps are huge. They already serve up to 40 players, at least on console, and I think they can go up to 60 on PC.
They would have
to
scale back graphically.
True.
GTA could
do
it.
GTA is in the ballpark. Like, those are the two IPs that I think have a lot of the framework already there that wouldn't have to build something from the ground up like a Call of Duty would, where they'd have to build a huge map, try to get their servers to handle more than 18 players in a room, things of that
listen,
nature.
Listen, they can't
well, they
handle
can just tone
12
down the
people
asset.
In a room
say,
on launch
they,
day.
Hang on a second. Hang on a second. You're also forgetting the fact that when you have all those people doing everything, there's a bunch of assets in the world. If you're going to turn it into a battle royale mode, half of that shit's going to be removed. You don't need all the civilians and random cars and stuff like that. You're going to be able to fit a lot more people in there because there's going to be a lot less stress on the server.
I mean, that's true. I mean, if you took GTA, stripped all of the NPCs out of it, they might be able to fit 75, 100 people onto one server.
Think about
and
how many NPCs and cars and everything
are going. How many do
they
do now?
20
plus, right?
It's 20.
They can do like 20
or, is it
30, or 24.
30? It's like somewhere between 20 and 30.
I think it's 30 on PC. I don't think it's 30 on...
You strip all
it might be 24.
Yeah, you strip all the NPCs out
of
that thing and all
the
moving parts.
You're fine.
You
could
probably
fit 50 or 60 people.
They could at least double it, I would say. They could at least get probably close to 75.
They would have to, you also have to condense the map so you could fit even more people, because you're not going to use that entire map. It would be impossible to play a Battle Royale game and get from, if you spawn on one side and the circle was on the other side, it's over. You automatically lose.
unless the timer is 20 minutes.
Yeah.
If you take out the northern part of the map and you just make it the city, that would be fine.
They could. I mean, they could still do the whole map. They would just have to improve movement speed. They'd probably have to, double player movement speed.
Yeah, cars would go so fucking fast.
I just meant as, your walking speed, because those characters move slow as shit. So.
Yeah.
But
they would probably just have special characters, and you couldn't bring in your own person. They'd have vehicles and characters developed for that.
It would just be like you can dress, you come in dressed, and everyone's the base character levels, and you don't get all your perks and all that other shit. And
I got it.
Rockstar, when you guys do this, remember who gave you the idea. We want our cut.
I know who can pull this off.
Not that you
off.
Haven't been developing this already.
Yeah. Who can pull this off?
You know I'm sure you are. Off?
Crackdown could pull this off.
They can't even release a game, let alone put a Battle Royale into it.
That would be a cool world to do this in, though.
Remember Crackdown 3? Awesome, and that was supposed to come out 2 years ago and still keeps getting delayed?
I'm still kind of pissed Terry Crews attached himself to Crackdown 3.
Yeah, well, he got paid.
That game will never come out, so don't worry.
Yeah, he got paid, so he's doing fine.
That would be an interesting world,
though,
game
that might never happen.
That would be a really interesting world, especially with the high jumping and all the craziness you can do.
Yeah, you get the super
that
jumping,
would be super
the
fun.
Giant buildings, just the
you don't even
crazy
need cars,
weapons, and
because your movement speed is so
I think that's a
quick.
Good world to have that kind of
it could work.
Game going.
Scrap on. Crackdown 3 and make Crackdown Battle Royale.
Yeah. I just made Microsoft
honestly,
$1 billion.
Yeah.
They might as there
well, because I mean, all the money they're probably losing on this Battlegrounds deal. So,
man. How's that performing on Xbox? Is that I know that
I heard
when it initially came out,
terribly.
It's dog shit. Okay,
at least
what is
Battlegrounds
on Xbox?
I heard as it performance wise is on an X, it's passable. On a standard, don't even waste your time.
We played Fortnite with our friend Brandon this weekend. He did not have a lot of nice things to say about PUBG on Xbox.
Yeah.
That's all
people
did.
Know what they're getting
Fortnite
themselves into, though.
On PlayStation.
If
you're
going to
play that on a console.
Early access as early access gets, from what I hear.
That's true. You are playing on a console.
The console version. But
you know
the console version is the original version from PC, because now PC actually looks good and playable.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's getting to a relatively good spot, minus all the cheating bullshit.
The new map looks really cool,
but
the desert map,
yeah definitely. I would want to play that game at some point.
When it comes to PS4 eventually,
if it's
I'll play it
good playable state, not like it is right now on Xbox. I wouldn't even waste my time, but because I mean the games are different. Like watching both games, the games are radically different. They may have the same concept, but the gameplay is night and day different.
Also, being able to play in first-person mode would make it a completely different game, where it's Arma all over again.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't done first-person
Fortnite?
Limited time. I mean, it seems like they're trying to do more of these limited-time events.
That could be cool.
I would not be surprised if, in the near future, one was a first-person mode.
That first-person mode...
That's a lot of work.
Would it?
I think so. You got to rebuild the world.
Why?
Well, in third person, you can see everything around you.
You just limit the field of view.
Yeah. You just have to, close it in.
Yeah.
It would be a lot harder to play, obviously.
That's
a third-person advantage.
But, but that's the point of those games. Like, when they release first person in PUBG, everybody plays first person now. Like, the larger amount of people playing that game play the first-person mode, because that's how they want to play a shooter like that. It turns it into a strategy game. You can't just hide behind something and pan your camera around to see where people are anymore.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I would love to play first-person Fortnite.
Like SOCOM.
That would be awesome. Yeah. It turns it into, Arma, SOCOM, the real shooters.
Yeah. Because, you can see around a corner. Behind a corner.
Absolutely. Come on. That's how everyone knows. That's how life,
have you
that's
not
how
seen
works.
That gun from Wanted with the mirror on it? Come
yeah.
on now.
Shoots around corners.
Go.
Easy. Well, that's going to finally do it for the news portion of this episode.
That was a great wild tangent, guys. I just want to give it up to us going off the rails there.
Started PlayStation VR, ended up at Fortnite. Of course.
Credit to you for making you say that we'd go 20 minutes extra if we needed to.
All conversations always end up with Fortnite. That's just
true. I knew I could extend it.
But, yeah, that will move us right into our top five, which this week we will tackle our five favorite arcade games, and not by arcade we mean actual play in an arcade game.
Yeah, no Xbox Live, PSN, like real. I mean, some of these are.
I mean, right?
Xbox
yeah,
Live.
A lot of these.
Eventually
consoles,
they made their way to console.
Yeah, the experience of playing it in the arcade, not just playing it on a another platform.
I want to go first because I want to see how many you guys have of mine.
What do you got?
All right. So shout outs to a couple things. Outrun. 1986.
Classic.
This game.
Classic. Yeah, it's a good one.
Super fun. Yeah, it was also it was a Sega game. A lot of the machines for this, you could sit in a fake car thing and drive, so that was always fun.
It was a real popular one.
Dragon's Lair. This was a unique style arcade game because it's an FMV. It's still FMV.
It was a Laserdisc game. Sure. It ran on a Laserdisc.
Right, but it's still But it's still FMV. Wouldn't you consider that?
Oh yeah, that's
FMV?
That is absolutely FMV game.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. This was 1983. This was also on consoles. Eventually, it was on Super Nintendo. It was on Atari. It was on a
everything.
Bunch of stuff. But
released it like last week, didn't they?
Probably. These games are ultra hard. Like Dragon's Lair. I don't think I ever beat Dragon's Lair. I would love to go back and play those games. Yeah, the reaction time for those games were insane.
Yeah. No. Stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever seen speedruns of those games? If you haven't, check them out, because it's crazy. X-Men arcade game. This also was on a bunch of stuff. It's like the side-scrolling. You could have the five different characters that you could choose from. Like a brawler.
A great game.
Side-scroller brawler. Great game. Yeah.
Was always
so those are my...
On Nightcrawler was very underrated.
So was Colossus. Well, Colossus, I don't know if he was underrated because he was the most overpowered person in the game, but I don't know how many people knew that or not. So, yeah, those are my couple shout-outs. All right, so top five. It was hard for me to put this so low, but once you know my other stuff, you'll understand. So, number five is Ms. Pac-Man. This was 1981. Yeah, I know. This should have been higher, but... The reason this stands out for me so much is because I was a camp counselor at a summer camp when I was younger, and I ran the quote-unquote game room, and the owner of the summer camp was pretty well off, so he would rent arcade machines. And this was one of the arcade machines he rented one year, and I played the shit out of this game. To not have to dump quarters into it.
Just on you playing that game? Is that
oh, no. It was free. We didn't have to dump money into
damn.
It was free.
Better.
So whenever I didn't have, like, a group in the game room, I was playing the shit out of this thing. So for, like, one full summer, it was just Ms. Pac-Man constantly. So that it's so good. Number four is The Simpsons arcade game. This is so, so good. 1991. You could play as all five family members. The goal was to save Maggie from Mr. Smithers and Burns because she stole a diamond by accident. I think that was the story, if I remember
it's
correctly.
Been so long. I know. Yeah. I don't even remember.
But it was fun. It was really, really fun side-scrolling beat 'em up.
I liked Marge because she had the vacuum cleaner. I liked
yep.
the rings.
Marge had
the
vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Bart had the skateboard. Lisa had her jump rope. I think Homer was just a straight-up brawler. I don't know
as
if
he
had a
be.
Thing that he... Yeah.
I don't remember, I don't think,
yeah. But the level design was cool. It looked exactly like the cartoon. It was... I mean, keep in mind, these games were made in the 80s and the 90s. Like, it's impressive what they did for the technology that they had at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Number three... Now we're going to get to just fighting games nonstop. Number three is X-Men Children of the Atom. This was 1994... This was before Marvel vs. Capcom, but it was that same SNK style. It had a real X-Men cast. It wasn't like these Marvel vs. Capcom games where they throw in a bunch of characters for fan service. Like, It had like Omega Red in it. When's the last time you saw Omega Red in a fucking
what's an Omega Red game?
Okay, moving on. So it had some. He's an iconic villain. Him and Sabretooth and Wolverine had a lot of awesome battles together.
Those other two, they were in the movies.
Yeah. you could play as the Sentinel. You could play. There was a lot of Apocalypses in there. There was a lot of cool fighters that you wouldn't normally see because it was one of those fighters that actually had like a full cast. It was also on Dreamcast, which is where I played the bulk of it, but I discovered it in a pizza shop on the corner in 94. Number two is Street Fighter II, the arcade game, which was titled The World Warrior. This is probably my favorite fighting game of all time, Street Fighter II.
It's up there for me. I think that's mine, too.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you, because Street Fighter II
is on my
list.
There's nothing bad
well.
I can say about this game. I love this game.
Who's your character?
Ken was my go-to if I needed to. And because him and Ryu were essentially the same character, but everybody picked Ryu, so I wanted to be different and pick Ken, even though they're the exact same character. And my backup was Bison, because I liked his speed.
I was all about Chun-Li.
Yeah, you have to be good at spamming if you play Chun-Li.
Well, I mean, it's not so much about spamming, it's just figuring out what your opponent wanted to do with you and then countering it because she could counter everything. And then
I mean button spamming. Like a lot of her moves were really like just a lot of button mashing to do really powerful.
Oh yeah.
Like
I mean if you're playing Chun-Li and you're not always moving, you're playing her wrong.
Right. Yeah. She's a super fast character. She's agility. Her and Blanca actually play very similarly.
Guess who my second was?
Blanca?
Yes.
Yeah. Not surprising.
Yeah, Blanca was always fun to play.
You could stun lock people like crazy playing Blanca. Yeah. With his electric move.
Always move with that. Just being able to launch yourself across the screen and do damage.
I raged so hard playing against Blanca in the arcade. People would do the roll ball against me, lock me in a corner, and just electrocute me until I couldn't do anything.
Yeah, it was.
I hated it.
Yeah, pain in the ass, but I mean, those are the fun characters to play, and I got good with them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that was one of the... I mean, this was before they had, like, 30 people on the roster. You'd pick your fighter, and you'd get good with them. And that was, like... And that's how you'd play in the arcade. Like, people would just play their fighters. And it was multiplayer before there was multiplayer. It was... God, I miss the arcades. Holy shit.
Yeah. And then... That was an experience growing up in the arcade time.
Yeah. People that missed out on it, they definitely missed out on an experience. And you're right. That's what it was. It was an experience. Those old arcade rooms and stuff, they still have them. Or you can pay like a certain amount and just get in and you play all the arcade machines all day as much as you want.
Yeah, those are
They're few and far between.
Up.
But
there's
yeah.
some bars popping up that do that.
Yeah, the barcades. They're very cool.
Yeah.
They're very, very cool. And my number one, 1989 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game. I fucking love this game. I also played a lot of it on the original NES. But
yep, it's a good one.
Notoriously hard. For people that don't know, and because there's so many Turtles games, it's the one that the first level's in the burning building. And then you fight Bebop
meter.
And Rocksteady at the end. Yeah, oh, 100%. It was really hard to beat. It was really hard to beat, because at a certain point, it just...
I'm 99% sure that game was meant to just eat your quarters.
Yeah.
It was, and even on Nintendo, when they released it on the NES, it wasn't that much easier. They did make it beatable, but it was still, like, bash your head up against the wall difficult. So 5-1. Number 5 is Ms. Pac-Man. Number 4 is The Simpsons. Number 3 is X-Men Children of the Atom. 2, Street Fighter 2, and number 1 is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Alright, I will jump in and go next. Shoutouts go to, obviously, Mortal Kombat, specifically 1 and 2. Yep. House of the Dead, basically the entire franchise. And NBA Jam, all all classics, all ones that I've spent many, many dollars playing. So my number five is San Francisco Rush. Yes, the only racing game to have made my list. This game I got, like, super obsessed with. Like, I would always play it when I would go to the arcades. As soon as it came to consoles, I got it, like, immediately and just spent so much time racing around that game. Because it was also one of the, at the time, kind of advanced for, you were allowed to just kind of drive around that world and kind of find all hidden hidden little secrets. And it was filled with so many different Easter eggs. Is how you unlocked a bunch of hidden cars. They had all these keys scattered about San Francisco that you could drive around and all these, like, behind buildings and stuff, places to find them. And yeah, it was a great game. And one of the ones, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to ask if that came out. Was that the N64?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Came out. Yeah. The first one, first and, Rush 2 USA, I think also both came out in 64.
Okay, yeah.
And then 64. they had 2049, which I think that by then was already to PS1. When 2049
didn't that hit Dreamcast too, or
I believe it did. Yeah, 2049.
I mean, those
also
things were all
on Dreamcast. But yeah, San Francisco Rush, all time classic. If they re released that tomorrow, I would day one purchase. No question about it. Doesn't even.
Which one's better, that or Burnout Paradise?
Oh man.
Oh, come on! This is actually, you actually have to think about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's still Burnout, but damn, like, San Francisco Rush, like, it laid the way for Burnout.
Like you said, it was super advanced for its time.
Very much so.
So,
but yeah,
what's your answer?
Other than that, it's Burnout. It's Burnout.
Of course, it's Burnout.
It's Burnout. At the end of the day, it's still going to be Burnout. Number four, NFL Blitz.
Yes.
From the people that brought you NBA Jam. It takes their football take on it, and it is just as good, if not a little bit better, because it's football. Come on now. And you got jump passes and all the crazy, ridiculous hits that you put on people. You dropping elbows and leg drops on everybody, and it's super. The computer super cheats just like it does in NBA Jam, and will throw nothing but touchdowns, and you'll throw nothing but interceptions late in the game for it to catch up, and you'll at the very last second maybe win or lose. And yeah, it's a class game.
Gotta love that rubber band AI. This is where Madden gets their rubber band AI.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah, absolutely. Number three is Time Crisis 2. To this day, I think it's still one of the best arcade shooters of all time. Just for the fact that gun feels fucking awesome to shoot. It's got, it's got the everything. It's got the nice
mechanic.
Weight to it. It's got that nice, when you fire the trigger, the thing cocks back and hits every time. The cover system is really cool.
Too bad the Sega Saturn version of it was a cheap plastic piece of shit.
Yeah, and even some of the arcades, like, you'll tell, like, some of the older ones, they'll replace the guns with, like, cheap regular ones, and it's like, this isn't the same. I need the weighty gun that when you fire, it's got the feedback to it. You can't just give me some random gun you found on the floor to replace this with. And yeah, the cover system's great. I think they're on like five or six as far as this is another, classic franchise that's been in arcades for now, decades. And yeah, it's just a great game. Two is the one I spent the most time with. I think the only one I actually beat after spending probably like $15 in one play trying to beat that game.
From what I remember, those quote unquote stories in those games were insane.
Yeah, it was just, you're going from one ridiculous place to the next because, the president's daughter got kidnapped or whatever stupid.
Who would kidnap a president's daughter and make a game out of it?
Yeah, whatever stupid
Jake
premise there
know.
Was.
Every scene in that game was, like, out of a Hollywood movie. It was awesome.
It was basically one action scene to the next. It was an entire game just based around what crazy action scenes can we come up with. Number two, Miss Pac-Man. Jake, you hit all the digits on why this game is a great. It's regular Pac-Man, but better because it's not the same like four screens over and over again. There's variety. That's I think the only reason you need to explain why this version is better. And it's Miss Pac-Man. It's got
there's also an insane amount of levels.
Yeah,
like I don't
ridiculous.
Aren't there like
played faster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. As you progress every 10 or 11 levels, I think it was, it brings you to like a new quote-unquote zone where everything played differently.
And it actually had
the game got really hard.
And it had a story.
It kind of did have a story.
It wasn't much
of a story,
but there was one there. But yeah, that's the one.
I think, for the story.
Yeah. And a game that I have purchased so many times over the years on pretty much every possible platform I can get it on.
It's funny how they remake that over and over, but Pac-Man's just like, no, we're not going to bother.
Because everyone knows.
Everybody just loves... Yeah, everybody loves Ms. Pac-Man way more.
Ms. Pac-Man's the one you're going to play.
100%.
And my number one is the original Donkey Kong. Yes, star of such great documentaries as The King of Kong. Yeah, this is the game on this list that I am by far the worst at. That's for certain. I am not very good at this game, but
it's a hard game.
Yeah, it's hard as shit. Now I you know, it's totally feasible why like some of the top players in this world, like I understand, it takes a lot of work to get good at this game because it is ridiculously tough.
Unless
and, yeah.
your full-time job is playing Donkey Kong, it's a hard game.
I don't think I've ever made it past like maybe like 5 or 6 levels of this game, and even that might be stretching as far as I've made it, but damn do I love playing the shit out of this game every single chance I get. It, no matter how much this game kicks my ass, it is always going to be number one arcade game for me. So counting back from 5, number 5 is San Francisco Rush. Number 4 is NFL Blitz. Number 3 is Time Crisis 2. Number 2 is Ms. Pac-Man. And number 1 is Donkey Kong. All right, Ben, now it's just up to you.
All right, so my little honorable mentions are going to be Mortal Kombat, Simpsons, X-Men, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Golden Axe, which was another fun one. Spy Hunter was another great one because that had the foot pedal and the wheel.
That was a great game. I forgot about Spy Hunter.
And NFL Blitz, like my kid mentioned. So my number 5 is Donkey Kong. This was the game. This was my first arcade game ever. The Kroger that I went to as a child had a machine there, and I got 1 quarter every week to go play that when we went grocery shopping, and it was hard. But I felt good one day when, because it was when my mom got in line to check out for groceries, she gave me the quarter and said, go play, basically, so I'm not standing in line begging for candy. I go over there, I start playing. I felt good one day when she came over with the cart bagged up, ready to go, and I'm like, oh, I still have 2 lives left.
That's a pro move.
I felt
move
so
right
good
there.
That day.
Damn right. Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely.
I was like, I'm still playing. Like, you can go load it up. Go load up the car. I'll be done soon.
Yeah,
I didn't say that, but.
Yo, you're set. That's a high score run right there. I mean, you can't interfere with that.
I wasn't that cool at 6 years old. So, but yeah, Donkey Kong like holds a special place in my heart, and it was a ton of fun. It had, you know, 3 screens, got insanely hard. But, yeah, I love Donkey Kong. Number 4 is Joust. Joust was insane. It was one map, but shit got real, really quick. And it was fast, and you had to have light speed hand-eye coordination and just being able to shift and mash and pray to whoever to like not get bounced. But Joust was insane, and there was the bonus level, and it was crazy. You had the lava, and I love Joust. Joust just kept you on your toes 100%.
That's another one of those
games
that was just too fucking hard. Like I never got good at that game. That game was just stupidly hard.
It's crazy. And I got it when it was, I got my Atari. I had Joust, and I think there was a classics. Arcade classics on PS2 when I got it. I played it on there.
It was also on PC. That's where I remember playing it a bunch.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm sure it made the rounds on PC 1,000 times over, and just Joust was crazy hard and just a lot of fun. Number 3 is Street Fighter 2. We have talked about that one already. I did beat the game on 1 quarter as Chun-Li.
Wow.
That was nice. one of my greatest gaming achievements. And
did you have people around you cheering, like in the movies?
No. My friend Frank was there.
Man,
we were at the Caboose Motel in Pennsylvania. I don't even know if it's there anymore, but basically this place, they turned old train cabooses into like rooms, and that's you cool. stayed in these cabooses. Huh. And they had a game caboose, and you know, we went over, we played it, and they had Street Fighter 2 in there, and I beat Street Fighter 2 with Chun-Li on one core. I felt really good.
Yeah, you should.
Number two for me is Gauntlet. Classic four-player action. I think that was one of the first multiplayer games that really hit it big. I sunk way too much money into these as a kid.
What character did you play?
Whoever I was allowed to play. I didn't care. I would grab whoever.
Did you have a preference?
Valkyrie, I think.
Okay, yeah.
She was the most balanced, one of the most balanced characters, if not the most balanced character, but that game was crazy. I mean, multiple, multiple level, I mean, different paths on each level. There were multiple exits, so you can do different screens, like in different orders. It was a real crazy game. It was so simple and ugly, but it pulled it off very well. Like, you could take different paths and play different ways, and you had to be on the same page with the other, you know, one to three other people with you. And if somebody didn't, you basically, the screen would lock. It had the screen lock. So if one asshole is trying to go to the left and everyone's trying to go to the right,
screw people.
Yeah, you couldn't go. It's like, I'm dying. You got to move over here. And they're like, not listening. And then
eat other people's food.
A lot of people got beaten up after bad Gauntlet runs. But hey, that's how you learn to be a good team player.
You take your lumps.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, I was an asshole? My bad. Stop punching me. so, yeah. We had a lot of fun with Gauntlet. Punched a lot of kids.
But whenever I think of Gauntlet, I think of the announcer. Like, that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Warrior needs food badly. You shot the potion.
I love that shit.
Yeah, Gauntlet. I had a lot of fun with Gauntlet, but my number one I had more fun with, and that is NBA Jam.
Of course,
nice.
Yeah, I think a lot of these arcade games have a lot to do with who you're playing these games with, and I played this a lot with my friend Joe. Mike, you have met Joe. We had so much fun playing NBA Jam at the arcade. And it was full of Easter eggs, and you could keep your stats on the machine if you logged in with your initials and your birthday or whatever the hell it was. And like, it was like the first time you could go back to an arcade and continue playing your game. It remembered who you had beaten already, and you can just pick up where you left off. I thought that was really cool. And just, we had so much fun unlocking Big Heads and Bill Clinton. And I mean, shit. I mean, NBA Jam is just legendary. It's one of the best sports games of all time.
Absolutely.
And I'll forever remember NBA Jam. It's just a great game. That's my number one for sure. Did you guys play a lot of NBA Jam at the arcade?
Most of mine was actually on console. Like, I didn't I played a little bit of NBA Jam in the arcades, but yeah, most of it was playing Tournament Edition on Super Nintendo. I'm playing that against my friends.
Black box that it came in or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, that was my go-to.
Because it was, I remember that was a different box because it was special.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was.
But yeah, my top five. Number five is Donkey Kong. Number four is Joust. Number three is Street Fighter 2. Number two is Gauntlet. Number one is NBA Jam.
All right, that is going to do it for this week's episode. Jake, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Fet the Assassin.
Ben, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at TheLeroyOG.
And you can find me on Twitter at Just Survive, on Twitch at The Just Survive. You can follow the show on Twitter at NWM Pod. You can also visit our website, nwmpod.com, which has links to all of our contact information, links to all of our past episodes, and links to subscribe to our show, which you can also do on iTunes, Google Play Music, or your podcast app of choice, in which we always ask that you leave us a review and let us know what you think of the show, because each and every week we thank you for listening, and until next time, take care.
Peace.
Boom shalakalaka. Yeah.